Pat Brown from the Children's Court Clinic.
Those in the ranks of the Victorian Children's Court Clinic sessional psychologists are there by invitation, not only because they're considered experts by their colleagues, but because they are persons with a generous worldview and have experienced much in life themselves, a step perhaps to wisdom. Liz Bigelow was notable among them. I don't recall how I first heard about Liz, but I know she was said to be a star. Liz was engaged at the Court Clinic on July the 25th, 1996, and from then proceeded to engage us all with her humour and a zest for life and for knowledge. Almost immediately, the doctoral students who sit in on assessments to learn the craft began to talk among themselves about this person who was not only good, but really good. And I noted there was competition among the students to pencil in their names before other students did, for days when Liz was to be there. I noted too that Liz would tend to special her Monash students so they didn't miss out on observing her work, although she had time for the students from all the universities represented at the Court Clinic. When she would arrive on premises, her clear, sonorous voice, which I can hear still, would cheerily greet us all. And over the 7 years she was with us, she became a friend to the clinicians and to me, and we got to know of the love and pride she had in her husband and her sons. Later, adversity would greatly deepen the friendship. Her reputation grew across Victoria in the Children's Courts and the County Court of Appeal because of the quality of her psychologically authoritative, meticulously crafted assessments. Judge Jennifer Cote, the president of the Children's Court, commented to me about the superlative quality of Liz's work in her esoteric area of adolescent sexual offending and the helpfulness to the court of her insightful appraisal of very complex issues. And she could write. Her intellectual rigour, but also her humanity and her common sense, leapt from the pages. In all of this, she remained unaffected by self-importance. She knew she worked well and that she was known for this, but she somehow perceived this to be the norm, and I believe that she didn't quite appreciate her own singular status. In keeping with this, she was always wanting her reports to be appraised for quality. Further, there were never any special pleadings for extra time. She worked prodigiously, would ensure her reports were submitted when they were due and that the relevant lawyer had been contacted. She was never late for her appointments. She was always prepared, and there was an equanimity shown regardless of what life event may have been occurring outside clinic time. She modelled for others professionalism, and I certainly learned from her. When Liz was diagnosed with cancer, the court clinic staff faltered. It was a blow personally experienced by us all, and we lived the griefs and the hopes of the next years with her. The next 3 years with her. There was optimism for the greater proportion of that time, but only because Liz took charge of her life and refused to live with cancer, orchestrated her treatment by disputing through logic that she should consider being dead in 6 months, and convincing the doctors of alternative intervention. At the least, she bought herself valuable time. She loved life. I believe also that she caused treatment modes to be changed, particularly in respect of liver surgery, which may alter the prognosis for some future patients with liver cancer. The courage of Liz Bigelow is legendary. It's her signature. And I believe she became as respected for that courage by the oncologist as she was by her peers. She never blamed fate. She thought her way through every hurdle and demonstrated how to live when in prolonged trauma. For instance, she had projects. She wanted to craft a shawl for each of her sons for their children to come so that they would have something from their grandmother. She attempted to hasten with her PhD thesis. And as you've heard, she flew to Antarctica just those weeks ago before the eclipse, a practice run to the heavens. Until very recently, throughout the time of her various therapies, she opted to keep working at the court clinic. At one stage, 1 week after surgery, she was back seeing cases at her request. In more recent months, she asked to be able to mentor cases involving sexual offenders which were assessed by others. Only in September, she attended the monthly court clinic lunch, looking well and engaging as of old. And I can see her in my mind's eye talking animatedly about incidents in her earlier life as we exchanged stories. She was such an interesting, talented and warm person. I'm greatly saddened, as are my colleagues at the court clinic, by what is an immense loss for us and for our field. It's a loss which is tempered only by the knowledge that it's been a gift for us to have known Liz and to have been her friend. And she has assisted many hundreds of clients, in the main greatly disadvantaged persons, and that she has enriched the practice of clinical forensic psychology for clinicians and students who will in turn influence others. In a lasting sense, in contributing so well to the endless chain of knowledge, hers has been a fortunate life. Well done, Liz.
Thank you. Well, that will conclude the talks, and now we'll just have music. Final piece of music. And we'll take the coffin and say farewell. No, there's no attendance at the what's it called?
Crematorium.
So I hope that people can just stay and sort of move into mode and see the photo albums and things like that, and help us say goodbye to her. So. Start the music, and we'll move the flowers and move the coffin.